the Lord in prayer to continue the Lord's to prepare our work. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of you. As we sing these songs and give you praise for who you are. Creator of all things, sovereign, sustainer of all things, Lord. You're the perfect Father who cares deeply for us with great compassion, great love, a love that we can't even comprehend in our human minds. That you would come and you would take our place on the cross, that you would shed your blood for us, that you would die so that we may live. Father, I pray as we are in awe and reverence of you, Lord, that we would draw near to you right now. We would listen carefully to your word. You would teach us, as you taught your first followers, what it looks like to be a people of prayer. Father, we're asking you to make us a people of prayer, not just in word, but in action. That's who we really are. If we're truly characterized by a people who pray, a people who trust in you, a people who rely on you. Father, you are there in every moment of every day with open arms full of grace and forgiveness, ready to take us, draw us near. Father, I pray for each person here who's dealing with what seem to be unbearable trials and struggles and anxieties, Lord. I pray that you would meet them right now, that you would calm their mind, put their hearts at peace, Lord, and speak to them. Speak to us, Lord. Revive us. Remind us who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. We're going to continue in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 through 15. So if you have your Bible, open to Matthew chapter 6. 11:15. You don't have one, there should be one there in front of you. We continue to pray that God would make us a people of prayer. We continue looking at Jesus' instruction, his wisdom about prayer. And as Jesus does so often, he starts his instruction by focusing on the motives of the heart. That's what this whole Sermon on the Mount is about. Getting to the heart, the motive of the heart. And so we learn to come to God in prayer with sincerity of heart. That's the first thing that he was teaching us. We must humble ourselves before God and come to him in reverence and awe of who he is. We're not trying to impress others or impress God with our many words, but we speak from the heart in a clear and simple way. Jesus also gave us instruction to be alone with the Father as he was. Go to your closet, he said. Shut the door. Meaning spend time with God alone in secrecy without distraction so that God has your full attention. Jesus then gave us instruction on how to start our prayers. We start our prayers by exalting his name, by giving him glory for who he is and what he's done in our lives. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. And so we're praying that he would be exalted on all the earth. We're praying that his kingdom would come, that he would have. What that means, he would have rule and reign in our hearts today, every day, and have rule and reign in the hearts of all the people all over this world. We pray that we would be bold in our witness, and the church would be revived, and we would take the good news about Jesus to all peoples. That's part of his kingdom coming, right? We pray that those around us, we pray for all those around us that we know who do not know Christ. And so we're praying for them by name. We're asking the Lord to break the hardness of heart, open their eyes, open their minds, help them understand who you are. And so we're pleading for God. We're standing in the gap for those people. And so we pray for God's will to be done. We pray for God's will to be done in our lives, first and foremost. Not my will, your will, Lord. We're praying that, meaning that we surrender to his will. We're letting go of what we want. We desire his plans to be fulfilled in our lives, not ours. That's a difficult thing. But that's part of following Christ, right? We deny self, take up our cross, and follow Christ. It's no longer our terms and what we want. We have turned away from that, we're following him. So Jesus given us these wonderful instructions. What we're learning here from Jesus here is that prayer is essential for the follower of Christ. It's our essential spiritual weapon for waging war in this spiritual warfare that we've been learning about, this spiritual battle against the powers of darkness and evil. We must connect with our Heavenly Father. He's our Father. He's our Savior. He's our Defender, our Provider. He is our everything. And so in prayer, we're connecting with Him. We're coming into close fellowship and communion with God. We must seek Him always and ask Him for help and trust Him to provide what we need in this life. Listen to the warning that we get from Warren Wiersbe about the importance of prayer. He says, Satan wants to convince us that prayer is a waste of time. But the Word of God and our own Christian experience assure us that prayer is the key to God's treasury of grace. So important for us to be a people of prayer. We see that all throughout Scripture. As we've learned this far, our prayers are not to be focused on just I and me. It's why Jesus starts our prayers off with God's name, the fulfillment of His kingdom, the fulfillment of His will. And so this week, as we move on through this prayer, we're going to see that our prayer moves from our Heavenly Father to us as a body and our needs. Therefore, we must humbly share our concerns with our Heavenly Father. Look here at verse 11. Where we learn to ask our Father for His provision. You know this verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 11, we're asking God for His provision. He is your provider. Again, I want you to take notice that it says us and our. There are no singular pronouns in this prayer. They are all plural here. So as we pray, we must remember that we're part of God's family, part of the local body of Christ, part of the worldwide family. Through our faith in Christ, when God adopted us as His child, He adopted us into His family. So it's not just our personal needs we're asking for here. We're asking for the needs of the body of Christ as well. It's an attitude that we see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, where He says, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That should be our heart. That should be our desire. Which means that we have no right to ask anything for ourselves that would harm another member of the family. See, if we're truly praying God's will, as it says here, then the answers to our prayers are going to be a blessing for the whole family of God. It is also important that we take notice that Jesus' instructions on prayer, we see that God is concerned about our needs. It's the first thing He asked us to pray about. Lord, provide our needs. You see, the Lord is concerned about that. He's not only sovereign ruler of the universe, He is our perfect Father. He wants to provide what His children need. He wants what is best for us. And Jesus explained this to us in Matthew chapter 7, 9 through 11, where He says, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? See, if we, human beings, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more would our Heavenly Father, who is a perfect Father, unlike every father on this planet, give good gifts to His children? Want to provide what they need. See, God wants to provide for us. He cares deeply about us and our needs. And we must trust Him to provide. Jesus also teaches a little bit about this when He says, do not be anxious for anything. There's no need to be anxious about what you need. See, He knows what we need. Instead, He commands us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He says, all these things will be added to you. You'll have the things you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, once we put God's concerns first, as we start out this prayer, it's okay to bring our needs before God. Right? The needs of the body. Jesus is teaching us here that God even knows what we need before we ask Him. Yet He still wants us to ask Him. Why? Because God has designed that prayer be the God-appointed way for us to have our needs met. You see, prayer is what prepares us for the proper use of God's answer to our prayers. If we know our need, we know our concern, and we voice it to God, we're trusting Him for His provision. And then we're going to make better use of the answer that He gives us rather than God just forcing it on us. Also, asking Him for our needs reveals that we're totally dependent on Him to provide. We're totally reliant on Him. It reveals our faith in Him, our trust in Him to give us what we need. See, God wants us to rely on Him for our provision. I want you to picture the Israelites as He led them out of Egypt, out of captivity, into the desert. When the Israelites had to rely on God every single day in the desert, that He would satisfy their hunger, that He would sustain them in this barren land. And so this went on for 40 years. And so He was teaching them, He's teaching us through that story today, that we must depend on Him for our daily needs. He revealed to them that His wonderful attribute of provider, of sustainer of all things. We see that in so many different passages. But in our world today, especially here in America, it seems weird to pray for this. Our pantry and our freezers are full. Food. We've grown accustomed to buying in bulk. Santa. And therefore, we've grown accustomed to depending on our things for our needs. We feel the sense of safety and security in the stockpile that we have acquired. And we're so often forget that we need God every day in every way. We are sometimes blinded by the fact that nothing, absolutely nothing is guaranteed other than what Christ His promises about your eternal life. Nothing else is guaranteed. Everything that we have at this very moment is from God. And it can be taken away at any moment. We think we can sustain ourselves, but we cannot. Our bodies are frail. We're prone to sickness. We're prone to accidents, loss of jobs, and every one of those worst-case scenarios that we see played out around us every single day. Prayer is the guard in our lives that keeps us in a place of humility, acknowledging that God is the one who has given us what we have, and He gives us what we need. He is the one who truly provides the air in our lungs that we breathe, the strength in our bodies to do anything, the ability that we have to even work, the opportunity we have to work, the job we have, the fact that we were born in this nation of unlimited possibilities. He's worked all of that out for us. And we should acknowledge that He is our provider. We should go to Him for everything. See, prayer is our daily reminder of the reality that we are totally and absolutely dependent on Him for everything. And we as human beings are married, we like to think that we've got this under control. We must acknowledge our need for Him to provide. Give Him the glory every time our need is provided. Whether it's food, clothing, a place to sleep, normal freedoms we have in the United States. We should be thanking Him. If we're not praying for those daily needs, then it becomes easy for us to take everything we have for granted. We might even start praying for our wants, turning them into so-called needs. In our materialistic culture, we sometimes get confused about that. I was humbled one day when I realized how surprised the pastors in Sri Lanka were when they couldn't believe that I had never missed a meal because I didn't have the resources. Never in my life missed a meal because I didn't have the resources I needed to buy food. They didn't miss any meals because they don't have the money to buy food. Sometimes they give what they have to their children. They skip a meal themselves because they don't have enough. It's part of life there. How many things do we take for granted? Some people wonder, why in the world should we pray for our meal? Simply, God provides it. Whether you believe that, whether you acknowledge that or not, He provides it. To not pray and thank Him for our food is to say, you know, I provide this meal, I need the money to buy this food, that's sufficient, and I don't need God's help. God wants us to come to Him and ask Him for our needs, food, clothing, home, etc. We also remember what He says here, our needs of the body as a whole. You see, it's not just your needs. Therefore, we need to start by praying for others in the body, that if each other would have our needs met. Remember, it's needs, not wants. It's so easy for us to be fooled by Satan's strategy to turn our wants into needs instead of repenting of our sin of coveting and idolatry. Have you acknowledged that God is your provider and you are not? Have you ever acknowledged that? Ask Him to provide your basic needs. Thank Him every time you lay down in your bed with a roof over your head. Thank Him every time you have water to take a shower. Every time you put on your clothes, every time you eat, every time you drink clean water, every time you give it to your vehicle to drive to that job that He gave you to give you the necessary money to provide for your needs. Thank Him for that. He's provided all of that for you. He is our provider. Don't be like the Israelites that lose sight of God in the midst of our blessing. Every time God blessed them, they lost sight of Him. They lost sight of the provider, the one, the giver of the blessing. Next, we're asking our Father for His forgiveness. This is part of the prayer that reminds us that this is a gospel prayer. Look there at verses 12. Look at verses 12 and 14 and 15. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Verse 12, we're asking the Father for His grace. Right? Forgive us our sins. And this is a gospel prayer. It reminds us of how the kingdom works. It reminds us that we need to look again. When I say gospel, I'm talking about the good news about what Jesus did on the cross and how He rose from the grave to give us eternal life. So we need to look at that again. How by His grace He died for us. He deserved death, but yet He gives us life through faith in Him. We need to look at that gospel again. And we need to remind ourselves of the pathway that God established for forgiveness and restoration, wholeness, life. See, the more we grow in our prayer life, the better we understand that we need Him to sustain us. The more time we spend with Him, the more we are exposed to His holiness and all that He is. And therefore, the more we see our need for our forgiveness. See, if we follow Jesus' instructions for prayer, we're going to experience His grace. We're going to experience forgiveness. We're going to experience peace, restoration. See, when you heard the gospel, and you believed in Jesus, and you repented, and you turned away from that old life of sin, and you repented, and you turned to Him, and you asked His forgiveness, and you surrendered your life to Christ, at that moment you were forgiven of all your sin. Every bit of it. Through Christ, God declared you not guilty. Why do you need to pray daily for our sins to be forgiven? Your faith in Christ, you have been justified before God. Our debt of sin paid for by the blood payment of Christ on the cross. But now we enter the second stage of our salvation called sanctification, and therefore we stand before God as Father. He's our Father, not our judge. He's our Father. And although we're no longer slaves to sin, although we are indwelled by God the Holy Spirit, we still sin from time to time. We're still fighting the flesh. We're still overcoming the old man and growing in the new creation that God has made in us. We're still tempted by our sinful nature, the world, and Satan's devices, right? But there's something else at stake here other than our sanctification. I want you to picture a family where the child has done something wrong and he's confessing what he did wrong to his dad. The child is not asking to stay in the family. It's about restoring fellowship with his dad. It's about restoring fellowship and restoring a close relationship with Him. It's about restoring, keeping our intimacy with our Heavenly Father. That's what He's talking about here. Sin hinders our relationship in every way. And when we continue in sin, it warrants His discipline on us. Our Heavenly Father wants us to walk closely with Him. He loves us and wants to extend grace and mercy and clothe us in the righteousness of Christ. He wants to mold us into the likeness of Christ. He wants to change the nature of our hearts and our character. As Jesus said, when we abide with Him, we abide and we bear much fruit. John 15:5. Because through our communion with Christ, We are empowered to overcome our sinful nature. Right? And He gives us the power to be used by Him as we advance His kingdom and accomplish His will as we started out in this prayer. When we allow our sin to grow in our lives, our relationship with the Lord becomes distant. You ever been there? It becomes distant. You feel distant from God. And then your life starts to look more like those who live according to the ways of the world. We stop seeking Him because we feel guilt and shame. When we start living our lives in our own strength, we go through more and more heartache and pain and more suffering. And we're wondering why. We slowly lose some of that joy and peace that He gave us. See, we cannot ignore our sin and try to hide it and think that it's not going to affect us. We must let God shine His light in the areas of our lives where sin creeps in, where we try to hide things. And we must acknowledge that sin, lay it before Christ, and daily ask His forgiveness. As He promises His children, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. See, as we walk by the Spirit, we're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. This is God's pathway for us to grow in righteousness. This is evidence, really evidence, that we are His children. See, one of the true signs of our salvation is that God transforms us into forgiving people. We receive His mercy. Now we want to extend that mercy to others. As we learn in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. It's not that we are forgiven if we forgive others. That's not what He's saying here. It's that we forgive others because we've already been forgiven and the nature of our hearts has been changed by God. This is the necessary evidence that we have received forgiveness. Hard, bitter, unforgiving hearts have no place in the kingdom of God. As we experience God's mercy and forgiveness, we should do the same for others. If there's a tiny bit of bitterness, a tiny bit of unforgiveness in our hearts, we need to repent of that. We need to get rid of that. Don't be like the wicked servant that Jesus talked about. He received huge, great, wonderful forgiveness, and then he didn't extend it to others. You know what he told him? This is what he said in Matthew 18:33-35. He says, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers as though he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus not only addressed this in verse 12, it's so important, he talks about it again in verse 14 and 15. You see, we can say that with our mouths that we forgive someone, but in our hearts, not really mean it. It's very possible. You see, yes, I've forgiven them. But yet we don't really need it. And we know when our forgiveness is not complete. Because every time you see that person, you automatically remind yourself of what they did to you. Or, even worse, you begin to gossip to others about what they did to you. Which means there's still some unforgiveness in your heart. You need to get rid of it. It will eat you alive. It will make your life bitter. Reconcile at all costs. And before God, make sure there's no unforgiveness in your heart. Go to Him. Talk to Him about it. Be open, be honest, be real as we learn in this prayer. Let God wash you clean of that bitterness and that unforgiveness. Remember, this prayer is all about personal fellowship with God. And one cannot walk in intimate fellowship with God if he continues in sin, and he refuses to forgive others. Harboring sin will hinder your fellowship with God, and it will hinder your fellowship with everyone else. Lastly, when asking the Father for His guidance and protection, look there at verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here, verse 13, God is not saying that He tempts us in any way. We want to get that right off the bat. And there's a reminder of us that we are prone to wander from God's ways and fall into sin. When there's temptation, we are led astray by our own desires and we fall into sin. God doesn't tempt us. You learn this in James chapter 1, 13 to 15. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I have been tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But listen to this, verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. We're asking our Father to help us not fall to these temptations. We all have temptations. Temptations are all around us in this world. We're asking Him for sufficient power and wisdom so that we can recognize the temptation and run away from it. That's right, run away from it. Get away from that. Get it out of your life. We're asking God to prepare us through His Word to battle the temptations around us. God tells us that with every single temptation, He's made a way of escape. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Very good passage to remember. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. Isn't that so gracious and so compassionate of our Father? He doesn't want us to fall to these things. God has given us everything we need to have victory in this dark and evil world. We also see that you're not the only one who deals with a particular temptation. He says this is common to everyone. There's all these temptations happening. And with every temptation, God is providing a way of escape. This is a family prayer. Because we all face temptations. We all fight the daily battle between the flesh and the spirit. Thankfully, God has given us power. The power we need to overcome our flesh, to overcome the temptation and have victory right here, right now. Not just in the future when we're in heaven, but right here. We're not slaves to sin anymore. God wants us to walk closely with Him so that we receive the power and the wisdom we need to overcome our flesh and walk in obedience to His Word. Jesus also instructs us to ask our Father to deliver us from the evil one. See, over the last couple of months, we went through spiritual warfare. We talked about the spiritual battle. Satan's goal is to discourage us, to defile us, devour us, to defeat us. He works behind the scenes, right, to bring about temptations and false narratives and philosophies in order to bring about our destruction. It's a real battle that's waging every day in our lives, whether you want to believe that or not. Spiritual warfare is real. He wants to destroy us. It's there. It's there in your life. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we don't believe it. But we do know that Jesus has defeated our enemy, the devil, on the cross, will one day bring about His final demise. He's given us the spiritual weapons, as we looked at, to stand strong against the enemy. Jesus was able to resist and defeat the enemy when He was being tempted in the desert. See that in Luke 4. He's being tempted by the devil. He uses the word of God and he defeats the temptation, overcomes it, defeats the enemy. Right? In our own strength, we cannot do what Jesus did. We need the Father's power. We need His guidance. We need His protection if we're going to stand strong against the enemy. In Christ, God has given us all the power we need to over Satan's power. Luke 10:19. We must rely on our Father, rely on His power to deliver us from the evil. Remember, our battle is not one of flesh and blood. It's spiritual warfare. And since Satan never takes a day off, there's never a day you don't need God for His power and protection. There's never a day. This is not only a family prayer. This is a daily prayer where we earnestly seek Him for protection every day. We earnestly seek Him for power and guidance and wisdom. And prayer is one of those powerful spiritual weapons that we learn that God has blessed us with. He's given us this wonderful spiritual blessing. It's the need for us to be a people of prayer. How often do you seek the Lord in prayer? How often do we gather? This is a family prayer. How often do we gather together in prayer? I'm so convicted by our times in Sunday school. I want us to get here early or be here long enough for us to not just share our concerns, which is so wonderful to be able to share your burdens with one another, to be able to care for one another, to be able to encourage one another, but then spend 1 or 2 minutes in prayer does not reveal that we are people of prayer. It does not. If that is all we do for corporate prayer all week long, we're not a people of prayer. We need to somehow make these small changes, put in place times where we can come and pray together as a body. So how do we pray? Look again at Jesus' instructions right here. Look again at this prayer. Let this be the example, the model for you. Let's go back through this. I mean, who can better teach us about prayer than Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, the one mediator between God and mankind? He lays out these very simple instructions for us. He even makes it easy for us to memorize. Not so that we pray and memorize prayer, but we remember. This is a guideline. This breaks down the different things that we need to be including in our prayers. This is a model. And so first, who are we praying to? Who are we praying to, Bobby? Our Father. Our Father, who is holy and righteous, deserves our respect and our reverence and awe. He's a perfect Father. He desires this close, deep relationship with us. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about me, and yet He still loves me. Yet He still loves you. He wants us to trust in Him like a child trusts in their parents. So we come to Heavenly Father. It's an intimate, close, deep, personal relationship with Him. It's communion with God, one who created you. Where are we praying? Where does He say to pray? That's what I'm telling you. Where does He say to pray? In this home. Go into your closet, shut the door. He starts off with the right motives of the heart. We're not trying to pray to impress others. We're not trying to use our elaborate phrases and our churchy words to impress God. We have full access to God the Father, and we can pray with anyone, anywhere, but He instructs us first to pray alone with God without distraction, where He has your full attention. Not your phone, not anything else. He's got your full attention. We need that place. We need that time. We need to pray alone with God before we pray together with others. And He says here that He rewards our secret prayers. What do we pray for? Well, we start off. We pray that He would be exalted in our lives and throughout the world. We're praying for His kingdom to come, that He would have His rule and reign would be established in our hearts every single day. That's first. Lord, come, establish the rule and reign in my heart. I'm surrendering to that. And then we pray for His rule and reign would be established throughout the world. That His kingdom would come throughout the world. It would be established forever. And we're then praying for revival of the church. We're praying for our revival. That we would be bold to share the gospel with all people, because that's part of His kingdom coming. If He's going to establish His rule and reign, and us, He's going to have to save that individual. That person's going to have to surrender, ask forgiveness, and then turn to Him and surrender their lives to Him so that He can establish His rule and reign in their life. And so we want to be bold and courageous in our witness. We want to pray for those around us that we know who do not know Christ. And others that we don't know who don't know Christ. We want to be praying for that. We pray for His will to be done in our lives and in this world. We're surrendering our wants to Him. Right? We want to walk and obey His word. We want His will to be done in our lives. We want His will to be done in the body. We then pray for provision of the body of Christ. Right? We're asking that the needs of the body would be met. We're also asking that our needs would be met. We're trusting in Him as our provider, that He will supply our needs. Even if we have stuff in the refrigerator or the pantry, we are recognizing that He provided that, and we're thanking Him every time we eat that. So we're asking Him, Lord, continue to provide our needs every day. And then we then pray for forgiveness of sin. Right? That means we need to make sure we're reading, studying, meditating on God's Word so that we can apply it to our lives. And then when He reveals things to us, we repent and we make changes. We allow Him to empower us to overcome that sin and overcome our flesh. We also pray for his power and wisdom and strength to overcome temptation. And we pray for his protection from the evil one. How often do you pray that? How often do you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, protect me from the evil one. Protect me from temptation. Help me not to fall to that. It's a daily battle. Is there a day that you're not tempted to sin? Is there a time you go out of this world where you're not faced with temptation? And lastly, how do we pray? Or actually, when do we pray? When do we pray? We pray daily, depending on His grace and mercy for our lives. There's never going to be a day we don't need Him. And lastly, how do we pray? We pray in faith. We're believing Him. We're believing in His promises. We are praying that He will always answer, and He always does. He either answers yes, no, or no. That's the way He answers prayer. God desires that we be a people of prayer. He truly desires that. Do we want that? Prayer is powerful because we're depending on the one, the only one, who is the true God, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, who is sustainer, creator of all things. So when we start believing that, it's going to change our prayer. We start really truly believing in who God is and what He promises. It's going to change our prayer life. It's going to open doors for you that you never thought possible. And God is going to get the glory. He will reveal Himself to us and to the people around that we're ministering to, and we will stand in awe. Every revival, every awakening, the spark was prayer. We want His name to be exalted on the earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is. As the worship team comes, evaluate your prayer life today. Take this time to evaluate. I've already heard some of you think talking about how God is helping you evaluate your prayer life, revealing to you places and things you need to change. Take note of these instructions. Keep this before you as you pray. Make the necessary changes in your prayer time so that you will glorify the Lord. So that you include these things and pray. Continue to pray that we will be characterized by a people of prayer. That will truly be our practice, not just what we say. Yes, oh yes, we're a people of prayer. We believe in prayer. Do we? Do we truly believe in prayer? I said the Lord is who He wants to be in us. Don't reject, don't oppose the work that He wants to do in this. Make commitments before Him right now. Thank you.